Bob respects Fitz, who passed away, he was 102 years old, an amazing life. There's a number of family members who are here to eulogize him. And first, I want to call upon Carol to say a few words.
I want to thank you all for coming. My first memory of Uncle Sutton was I was 2 years old, standing in a crib in Fremont, and for the next 5 years, we were roommates. After that, we kept in touch, we married Andy Francis, and had Esther, and life went on. I got married, I got pregnant. He put me up for a few months, I lived in his house. So good to me. And he was sick. It was my pleasure to go visit him. Everybody said, oh, you're so good. And I said, no. It was for me, buddy. He was such a character. Always made me laugh. Always sing to me. I had videos of him singing. Even at 101. Before he... Like in December, I was there, and he said, I'm going to be 120. And I'm like, no, close, but no, 102 is fine. You know, he outlived everyone except for these two. And we're blessed to have them still. And he will be missed. Thank you, Uncle Sutton.
I want to call Jim Jameson to say a few words in honor of Saul.
Well, thank you for allowing me to speak a little bit about Saul. I only knew Saul for his last 14 years when he entered my life. He was my wife Kim's grandfather, and at that time, Kim had never met him before. And he re-entered the lives of for her and with an introduction to me. And I'll tell you, these 14 years were great. I'm really glad I had a chance to get to know him, spend some time with him, and get to know his family. The things about him is about, he was about living life to the fullest. First time I met him, he told me that he was a Sephardic Jew, and I'd never heard that before. I'm not a Jewish background, and I didn't know what that meant, and he shared articles in the newspaper with me and kind of educated me, and it was very interesting. It opened my eyes to a world I didn't know. The thing about Saul was he loved people. He loved being around people. He loved music. He loved singing. He loved life, and he lived life to the fullest. And if you walked in a room, he was there, and he walked in, the room got brighter. It got more enjoyable, and everybody had fun, and he made sure everybody knew that he was there. He wasn't shy of that. And he'd have his first sip of wine, which he loved every afternoon before dinner, and he'd put out a whoop, whoop, and he knew that he wanted everybody to be in good spirits. His last 5 years when he was bedridden, it kind of changed a lot because he was a very mobile person, very happy person, but he never lost his mind. He was sharp as a tack. He remembered everything. He remembered things that I didn't even remember. And beer is very important to me, and so I would always kind of sneak some beer. And on his 102nd birthday, his last birthday 2 days ago, I brought some beer in, and he enjoyed it, and he did a hoot and holler, and I think that he appreciated life to every sip. It was great. I know everybody here could be thrilled that you were here to pay his respects, and he won't forget any of us. He'll be with us all the time. I think he's now joined the party that will last forever, and now he's going to be the star of that party moving forward. Thank you.
I'll just offer a few reflections from the perspective of the Sephardic community, the Jewish community on Saul. When I did not know him, but I did meet with Becky and Vic a couple of years ago when they thought he was quite sick and didn't know if he would make it. This was, I think, two or three years ago. So I said that, I mentioned that he lived to 102. It's just sort of and shake your head. How does a person manage to live till 102? There's something, obviously, God wants them to be here for 102 years. When we give people, Carol mentioned before that he said he's going to be 120, that's actually coming out of a very strong Jewish tradition that we say to somebody, you should live till 120 years old. Because our teacher Moses lived till he was 120. We just finished the holiday of Purim, and the arch nemesis of the Jews in the Purim story in what is modern day Iran, and at that time was called Shushan in Persia, he drew a lottery, and he was very, very delighted that it came out in the month of Adar, which we're still in the Jewish month of Adar, because he found out that that was the day on which Moses died. And he said, well, that's got to be good fortune for me because their leader died in that month. And so the rabbi is saying, the Midrash, little did Haman know, he was also born in the same month. And the explanation we give is that he actually lived, he died on his birthday. Solomon died a couple days after his birthday. Moshe Rabbeinu died 120 years after his birthday, on the same day, on the 7th of Adar. And the message of the Midrash is that death itself is not a tragedy. Death itself can actually mark a very productive life. If you, what do you do with your life? That's the question. We're all immortal. The question is, what do you do with your life? So Haman did not realize that Moses had a full life. And as opposed to being a day of bad fortune, the passing on the 7th of Adar was a day of good fortune, because it was an indicator that he led a complete life. We have one of the recitations we say that Chazan Idos is very familiar with, many of you are, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. More significant is a good name than good oil. The word Shem means name, Shemen it means oil, and the word Shemen oil contains the word Shem, name. It's better to have a good name than good oil. The Yom HaMavet Miyom HaMavet, it's better, the day of one's death is better than the day of their birth. It's like a shocking idea. Why would the day of one's death be better than the day of one's birth? When one is born, there's so much hope. Hope springs eternal. A person has their whole life ahead of them. And the death of a person, it represents the end of that person's life. So the explanation is that when one is born, one does not know what direction one's life will take them. As a result of that, it is a degree of uncertainty and maybe even a lack of confidence that things will work out. However, when one passes away, it's time to sum up one's life. And in that situation, it could be that if you use your years properly, they'll be very successful with a great deal of joy and happiness and contentment and satisfaction with what we do with our years. And therefore, the day of one's death, so to speak, is on a certain level better than the day of one's birth. Because at the time of one's death, one sums up the accomplishments that one is able to achieve in the course of their life. And this, the conversations we had, the brief conversation we had yesterday about Solomon's life, and it was mentioned already by Jim, by Carol, that this is a person that lived life to the fullest. The thing that stuck in my mind after our conversation, when I heard about Solomon's life, is that he was always happy. And the rabbis say that one should make an effort to always greet other people with a sefer panim yafot. Sefer panim yafot means with a happy countenance. That's a tall order, especially during a Seattle winter when everything is gloomy and rainy and everything. And if you haven't had your morning coffee yet, or coffees yet, to greet everybody with a happy countenance is a challenge. It takes a very strong person to be able to be consistently, to live life like that, and to be friendly and to be approachable. And that is something that I would want mentioned at the end of my life. I hope I live to 120. But in my life, I would want somebody to say, well, this person, this rabbi, was able to greet people with a sefer panim yafo, with happy countenance. That's an indication of personality and to the praise of the niftar, of the deceased, that he was able to be always happy. On that same note, there's a story that is recorded in the Talmud. Talmud records a story. There's a personality called Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi. According to Jewish tradition, he never really died. He went up in a fiery chariot to heaven. And he comes down occasionally in the Talmud narratives, and he meets with people and has a latte with them and talks about life. And they seek advice from him. So there's a story of Rabbi Broca. Rabbi Broca met Elijah the prophet in the marketplace of a place called Luft, or Luft. somewhere probably in Iraq, in modern day Iraq. And he said, you know, we're looking around the marketplace now. Who here in the marketplace is a person who will achieve the world to come? The world to come in Jewish thought being the world of the souls, where Solomon now is, where we pass away, we believe in the ascent of our soul to heaven, to a world of spirituality. So who will get into those, you know, that world to be close to God? He said, well, those guys down the street over there, go talk to them. They have a place in the world to come. So Rabbi Broker goes down the street and asks these guys, what do you do? What do you do for a living? They said, we are comedians. We are comedians and jesters, and we make sad people happy. And when a man and his wife get into a quarrel, we make peace between them. That's the person who gets the world to come according to Judaism. It's not a person who observes all the 613 commandments, who gives charity, and who does constant acts of kindness. Well, that's important too. But more important maybe is to make sad people happy. That's an amazing statement about the approach of the Jewish tradition towards attitude and towards the importance of having an engaging personality and the significance that our tradition gives to making the downtrodden happy. There's a commentary by Rashi, who's a commentator, a medieval commentator of the Chumash, who lived in France in the 11th century. And Rashi on the line that says we are comedians actually translates it differently. He says we are happy people. We are happy people who make sad people happy. And I thought that was very profound, because you know there's comedians and there's comedians. There's some comedians who are able to make you happy, but if you look in their personal lives, they're a mess. And one of the great comedians, you know, in the last century, Robin Williams, was a very funny person, but he's a very depressed person as well. And we know that he committed suicide, well, lately. So doesn't being a comedian, saying one-liners or entertaining people, is only part of the story. The other aspect is, are you happy yourself? Are you personally happy? So Rashi was saying that from the Jewish traditional standpoint, the people who can truly help people solve problems, help others solve problems, and make them happy, are people who in their own personalities and their own lives live happy lives. And when you do that, then you're digging deep into your own experience, and you're using that as a source of joy for other people. Saul Fitz was that kind of person. And therefore the happy countenance that he had on the outside was matched by a happy, content sense of peace on the inside, and therefore the happy countenance wasn't just something external for him, it was something very profoundly connected to his personality. Yeah.